as training camp rolls on down yonder at the Greenbrier for the Cleveland Browns. We're going to get his thoughts on his hometown Cleveland Browns. We're going to get his thoughts on the big paydays for quarterbacks. We welcome on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, former NFL giant, a part of the Gojo and Golic on DraftKings and YouTube podcast. I think we're calling everything podcast now, even though there's a video component there. Mike Golic Sr., welcome to the show, bud.
Yeah, you're right. Everything is podcast. People ask me, what's the difference of radio and TV and podcasts? I said, as far as I'm concerned, nothing. I talk into a microphone, or wherever they distribute it. Doesn't change it for me.
If you would like, I think you could be part of the force to bring back blogs. I'm just saying it.
I'm telling you, it is wild where it's gone. No doubt about it. I didn't know Cleveland was down at the Greenbrier. My son Mike, when he was in camp with the Saints, was at the Greenbrier, and I went down there and I actually did some fishing on the golf course, the little lake on the golf course. Caught a few bass.
Now, did they say you could go fishing, or did you just show up with your tackle?
Well, they actually have a place where you can rent out a rod and reel, so I'm going to guess you can go fishing. At least, I don't know if they appreciated me walking through the lobby with said rod and reel, but I did anyway.
So, Mike, looking to the Browns, we're going to start big picture and get into all the different things here. Are you bullish or bearish on the Browns this year?
Well, I am thinking arrow up with the Browns. I mean, the O-line, as long as they can get healthy with those two tackles, you know, Wills and Conklin, I mean, that's going to be a key, because that O-line has been tough. So I like them. Nick Chubb, again, we're talking about injuries coming back. You know, the rushing attack after losing Chubb, they average under 4 yards a carry. So getting Chubb back whenever you can get him back is going to be huge. And then, obviously, the biggest question is the quarterback position. You used 5 quarterbacks last year and still get into the playoffs. It's really not too bad. But it's time for Deshaun Watson to beat Deshaun Watson. I mean, that's going to be the key. And, you know, obviously, we'll get into it. The defense has to hold up their end of the bargain. Obviously, had some injuries they had to deal with as well. But it has all the makings of a team to battle with Baltimore for the top spot in the division.
Mike, is this the year for Deshaun Watson, like a make or break season for him? And if he doesn't perform, what do you do?
I mean, I don't know what you can do.
Right.
I mean, you loaded him up. I mean, you guaranteed him his whole salary. So, I mean, I know all the other owners are still mad at the Haslams for doing that, even though we haven't had another quarterback in the big deals that have gone out. Nobody's gotten a fully guaranteed deal. So that was an exception, not the rule, which is, I'm sure, what owners wanted to keep and not have everything fully guaranteed. So I don't know what you can do. You know, you keep changing up backups just in case there's injury. You know, now obviously you have Jameis Winston as the backup, but I don't know. You know, you can load up with the rest of the team all you want. As I talk about, you know, with Amari Cooper bringing in Jerry Jeudy to try and resurrect a career, and Nick Chubb getting healthy and the O-line getting healthy, all that goes kind of for nothing if you don't have some stability at the quarterback position. So everybody is waiting for Deshaun Watson to get back to what he was. I don't know if he's ever going to get there, quite honestly. I don't know. But if he can get close with the talent you have around, you know, that could be enough to battle with Baltimore and, I should say, obviously, Cincinnati as well.
Mike, I want to tread lightly, because I know that Randall Cunningham's injuries are not the same. His situation was not the same as Deshaun. Obviously, Deshaun's injuries are pretty unique in their own right, but Deshaun also missed a lot of time for things off the field.
Right.
That we didn't have the same thing with Randall. But, you know, your time in Philly, there was so much hope, so much put into that roster, including with Randall, and he started having health injuries. When you're getting on, you know, a bad year and then, you know, significant injuries, and now it's year 3 and Deshaun has just not shown anything in that locker room, does that start to weigh on a locker room?
Oh, yeah. Everything's on the clock. I mean, when the year that Randall, we thought we had a Super Bowl team, and Randall got hurt the first game against Green Bay, Bryce Pop caught him in the side of the knee, blew his knee out, and we were on the sideline going, what the hell just happened? You know, and that was, we went through a ton of different quarterbacks, and that was kind of it. So yeah, you rely, I mean, it's the most important position on the field, and you make an investment the way Cleveland did, and you're hoping for that type of play. It's one thing to make an investment and not that get the type of play you want. It's another thing to make an investment and go through off-field issues where you miss time, injuries, and you miss time, and still not sure if that quarterback is going to live up to what he's been. That's a monster question mark. A monster question mark for a team that has a really good defense, and as I keep going through the weapons on offense, you know, as long as they're healthy, has weapons on offense, they're ready to compete. But unfortunately, at the most important position, you went through five guys last year.
So I'm going to ask you this question as well, because your time in Philly, you had a couple guys with some passionate displays there, Buddy Ryan being amongst them. Would Buddy Ryan have ever brought in Mike Vrabel as a special assistant and allow him basically to become the face of training camp?
I don't think Buddy would have, you know, in that era would have brought in coaches to do that. It's a different world now, what we're doing. But, you know, Vrabel's got a hell of a reputation, especially as a defensive coach, and not only as a head coach, but a defensive coach. So times are different now, no doubt about it.
Mike Golic Sr. on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, host of Gojo and Golic on YouTube. And so as we're having this conversation, another thing I think that era of coaches might scoff at is the pay for quarterbacks now. Jordan Love, Tua, Jared Goff, all amongst quarterbacks that got paid this offseason that have people frothing at the mouth to debate whether they're worth it. Where do you stand on paying non-elite quarterbacks very elite money?
There's in all honesty, there should be, I know it's sports radio and you debate, but there's no debate. You know, I've come to a point in my career where, you know, when you talk about college and NIL or the portal, some people talk about how bad it is for college and this and that. The bottom line is it's here. You either learn how to deal with it, you adapt or you die. You adapt to NIL and collectives or wherever it's going to change to, revenue sharing, whatever. You adapt to, you know, hiring a personnel person in college to deal with the portal, just as you know you're going to have to pay a quarterback. He's going to be the highest paid quarterback and not necessarily the best quarterback. You know that's going to happen. And the capologists budget all that out years in advance. They know where it's going, except if you're in Dallas, where you don't know where it's going. But everywhere else, you know, you kind of knew where the numbers are going to go. They almost slot themselves in a general area of average per year to guaranteed money to cap hit to all the numbers that you have to worry about. But I'm past saying, oh, is that guy worth it or not? Doesn't matter. They're going to get it because you have to. Now, there can be a few question marks. Should you have paid a Daniel Jones for the Giants and things like that? I get some questions like that. But the thought is with Tua, okay, who are you going to get? You know, if you don't sign Tua, who are you going to get? I know Jordan Love had just 1 year, but if you don't pay him and don't pony up, who are you going to get? You know, when you have a team that can be ready to make a move, what are you going to do at the quarterback position? So you have to pay that now. It's just part and parcel of the deal, and you have to work that and know you have to work that into your cap.
Mike Golic with us on the hotline. Mike, Nick Chubb last year was really sad. He gets hurt, you know, really early in the season against Pittsburgh. He's making a comeback. You know, he's looking pretty good, but probably not going to be ready right away, at the beginning of the season, which is okay, right? But I mean, for Nick Chubb, I mean, he's getting up there in age, but he's been one of the great running backs of the last several years, and certainly for the Browns, you know, he's the bell cow, he's the face of the franchise with him and Myles Garrett, basically. Do you think he'll bounce back at this age? I mean, Adrian Peterson did, but he was kind of a freak. Not to say that Nick Chubb's not. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think he's, what, 28, so he didn't hit that 30-year-old yet. He's 28. I think his birthday is in December. You know, and the technology with knee injuries nowadays, even though that was just a bad one, that I felt just horrible for him. But you see guys coming now. Again, Adrian Peterson was kind of freakish in what, 6-7 months he came back. But still, the technology and how these guys come back is pretty impressive. So I would have to push to the positive to say he can come back. Again, he's not 30 yet. Got a couple years toward that, year and a half toward that. So I would say he can come back. If not, if you have to go by committee for a little bit, you go by committee for a little bit. But still, I would like to believe with the way we deal with the medical today that he's at some point, I don't know when it's going to be in the season, but going to be good to go.
Mike, looking just kind of at the AFC at large here, there could be as many as 12 legit AFC playoff contenders this year if teams, specifically quarterbacks, stay healthy.
Right.
If I had to hold your feet to the fire, you know, give me the 7 playoff teams right now. Who do you have in?
Well, I think obviously you have Kansas City in. You know, I still think Buffalo is going to rule the East. You probably got to give the edge to the Baltimore and in the North. And then you look at the South, and I would say the Texans right now, though they were only one win ahead of Jacksonville and the Colts. The Colts are getting Anthony Richardson back, so we'll see what he can do really in kind of his rookie year after playing just 4 games. But you give it to Houston, so that'd be your division winners. You could have the North with 3 teams. You could have them with Cleveland, and if Burrow can stay healthy, you can have those 3 teams coming out of the North. And then you look at maybe a Miami or the Jets, depending on Aaron Rodgers, the other team coming out of the East. So I think you can get 3 out of the North. I wouldn't expect that out of the South, certainly not out of the West. But I think you can get it. If they don't beat each other up, I think you can get it out of the North. So that would probably be my 7.
So what's interesting about this is then you flip over to the NFC, and there's an established ruling class in the NFC. There's San Francisco, there's Philly. Some might have Dallas in there, but we've seen how the playoffs go for them. So if I just put it to San Francisco and Philadelphia, what team that I have not listed in the NFC do you think could maybe upset the apple cart this year and maybe have a surprise Super Bowl run in them?
Oh, Detroit. I think you left Detroit out as far as the top teams in the NFC. I would probably put Detroit maybe ahead of Philadelphia. I would say San Francisco and then maybe Detroit and then maybe Philly. I think Dallas is going to be down this year. They have no running game. CeeDee Lamb still isn't in camp. Their defense is good, but not very good against the run. But, yeah, the NFC is way less deep than the AFC. NFC South could be one of 3 teams, Tampa, New Orleans, or Atlanta, in the playoffs. The Rams may make a bit of a surprise this year. But, yeah, I would say it would be the 3. San Francisco, Detroit, and Philadelphia would be the 3. Maybe with Jordan Love, the way he finished the season, I did 3 of his games last year, and just to see his improvement, they got working with a new D coordinator this year that looking to get kind of them back on the defensive track. They might be a surprise team this year as well.
What do you think is going to happen in Dallas? It seems like there's this drama there every single day. You know, Dak's been a good quarterback for them, but they haven't won. You know, McCarthy, I'm not the biggest fan of him. What do you make of what's going on in Dallas, man?
Well, I mean, as far as Dak and CD, that's Jerry Jones. That's not McCarthy. No matter, I get what you're saying about McCarthy.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From a head coaching standpoint, but as far as Dak not having, and at this point, you almost wonder why would Dak sign an extension? Because he could be a true free agent because they can't tag him. So he could literally bet on himself, have another good year, and be a true free agent, which would be almost unheard of for a guy that developed at the quarterback position. The CeeDee Lamb thing, I don't know what CeeDee's asking for. I would have him slotted in just below a Justin Jefferson. CeeDee Lamb may think he's more important to Dallas than Justin is to Minnesota, and maybe thinks he should be paid more than Justin. I don't know. But I don't know why that deal hasn't gotten done. I don't think they have any running game at all. Zeke Elliott coming back, but he can't do that alone. I Jerry Jones saying let the leaves fall a little bit about Dak, about a number. I mean, how many leaves do you need to fall of quarterback signing? 9 receivers have signed extensions and not, arguably the second best receiver in the league in CeeDee Lamb. So I'm not really sure what's going on, but I definitely see them taking a step back this year.
I just love that Jerry Jones called himself an option quarterback and then had the corollary to Pat Mahomes, who I don't know anyone's ever called an option quarterback.
No, I mean, I don't know what you do at this point with Jerry. He won his, obviously, early on in his tenure as owner, he won. Obviously a couple with Jimmy Johnson who built those teams, and then with Barry Switzer, it was still really a Jimmy Johnson team, and it's been really nothing since then. So it's been kind of tough to watch, where at times they thought they've had the talent, 11, 12 wins the last few years, but just absolutely laying eggs in the playoffs.
Now, a little birdie reminded me that VASJ has a new stadium. Have you been back to see it?
I have not. I know we've had a lot of meetings with a few of his former players about ways to raise money to get that stadium together. Because I call games during the season, it's tough for me to get back. But, boy, I'd like to. I mean, to actually have games in a home stadium at the high school now is just, I'm so happy for the player, so happy for the school, not just the players in football, but other sports that will be able to play on it. I'm just so happy that the money got raised and they were able to get that done.
Mike, last thing, speaking of stadiums, there's been a lot of talk here in Cleveland about potentially moving the location of the stadium down near the airport and potentially putting on a dome. Does that make you sick as a native Clevelander?
Yeah, I'm big on the outdoor stadiums. I am, but I get it indoor. From a monetary standpoint, you can use it for more things. If it's covered, you can use it in the wintertime for more events. So, I mean, yeah, you have to understand the economics of it at this point. So, again, nostalgia would say you'd like an outdoor stadium, like in Minnesota when they had the old outdoor stadium. But then they go to the dome. I get what the economics today of what usually needs to be done for the sake of making money. So while I do understand that, I'd like to see it stay outdoors. But the sign of the times is you need a stadium that can be used year round.
Mike, you're always so great and you're always so gracious with us. We appreciate you, man. And you guys on Gojo and Golic are killing it. Love to see not just the father and son angle, but you're both so damn good at it. Keep it up, bud.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Mike Golic there. Mike Golic Sr. on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. One half or one third, I guess, of Gojo and Golic on YouTube.
Can I say something quickly?
You may. Please do.
Just because USA Basketball is playing right now, and we've got it on the background here in the studio. So they're playing South Sudan,
mm-hmm.
and there's not one NBA player on South Sudan's squad.
There's actually two.
Is there two?
Yeah, there's JT Thor.
I just asked somebody.
No, there's zero.
No, JT Thor is an NBA player.
He might have been on an NBA. He's not on an NBA roster right now. According to the story I read yesterday, their 33rd ranked team is zero NBA players.
All right. So was he? JT Thor was on a roster until free agency. So he was in the NBA last year. Who's the
He's
other?
He's a free
name?
Agent right now. Not an NBA player. You can't call him an NBA player. He's not on a team, Nick. He was the 37th overall player in the 2021 draft. It's not like the guy's a stud.
Has he played in the NBA? Did he play in the NBA last
year? You call him an NBA
year?
Player if he's not on a roster?
Yes, because we're in the offseason. If it was in the middle of October,
is
I probably
Chase
wouldn't.
Is Chase Buttinger an NBA player? He's also a free agent.
This is a weird thing to jam up on there, Keith. He is an NBA player. Played in the NBA last year.
I mean, this
certainly not an NBA player.
Thank you for backing me up, Keith, number one.
Okay. Well, by the way, there's one more player that was on an NBA roster.
Who is it?
Mac is looking that up. Mac?
Oh, okay.
Wenyen Gabriel. Played for the Lakers and for the Grizzlies last season.
Last season.
Epic.
Well, no, the point is you act like it's a bunch of plumbers and millers out there.
I assume most of these countries have guys that have been on a roster at some point in their career.
You
that doesn't mean they're an actual NBA player right now.
That was the whole point. If you played in the NBA, you're an NBA player.
That was the whole point I'm bringing up, and I'm sure this is where Dustin was headed. Like, U.S. team, they have three times the amount of NBA players than any other team has. Every guy on their roster is an all-star.
I mean, listen, they're up 20 now or 19 points, but like, there's not any NBA players on this team, and they look like pretty athletic, like pretty good.
Yeah, they're
30 at smoke, but I mean, the NBA, you're talking about literally the best players in the world on one team.
Well, Colonel Crawford over there is pissed that the USA is only winning by 20.
Well, they're favored by 29.
I said they need to win this game by 40.
Yeah,
I said that yesterday.
Because there are no current NBA players on the roster.
That's a fact.
JT Thor is who Nick's counting on.
And Wenyen Gabriel. That's a tougher name to
say. His name.
Gabo?
Yeah, I got, because I'm so emotional about him being on this team. He's a difference maker.
He's a player, man.
Yeah.
I've never 40 seen
40-point difference maker.
Keith just wants somebody to take him up on if the U.S. doesn't win every matchup by 60 points.
No, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to bitch about it, but they should.
Sounds like you're bitching about it.
No, I'm just saying they should. Like, I don't know why anybody would think that this team shouldn't beat everybody.
If they win by 39 points.
It's kind of boring to watch, actually.
It's clearly not if the game's actually competitive. So if they win by 39 points, you've said they should win by 40. Your retort.
Well, I mean, we're in the first half right now, and they're up by 20. So
no, I'm asking, like, if they win by 30 points instead of 40,
I mean, are you going to be outraged? Put guys in on their bench right now, and you put the second team in this next. There's nobody would even touch an NBA roster.
What makes the Olympics so great is that. And it's not every Olympics, but there are teams that end up giving you more fight than their collective talent might lead you
to
believe.
Because those teams actually have a couple NBA players. This team does not.
They have two guys that played in the NBA last year.
Yeah, and there's also guys that played in the NFL in the UFL.
What does that have to do with this argument?
You call them NFL players?
Are those NFL players?
Did they just recently play in the NFL?
Oh, okay. So we're going recently. If you've played the last 5 years, you still count.
No, if you played last year, you're an NBA player. So if you stepped off the field in January for the NFL, and then you went into what in the blue?
What the hell is that?
That's like the third time I've heard that.
Yes, it is. Thank you,
Nick.
Keith.
Let me see.
It's an Android. It's only you or Mac.
It is not me.
It's not me.
It's totally me. But I realize that if I didn't own it, you're just going to jam up Mac more. I'm falling on the sword, even though it is totally me. Who turned that? I didn't do that.
The USA men's basketball team has guys that have all started this year in the NBA. There's not one starter. No one's ever started in the NBA, Nick, for South Sudan.
So JT Thor's never had a start.
I don't know. Has he?
I bet you he has.
Those
Hornets teams are pretty much dog bleep.
JT Thor?
And if not him, Wenyen Gabriel absolutely has.
All right, here we go. JT
Thor. JT Thor has started 11 games of the 105 that he has played.
Sounds like an NBA player last year. What about Wenyen Gabriel?
Man, he averaged 3.2 points a game, man.
Started 8 this last year or in his career?
In his career.
Oh, yeah. How many games has he played in the NBA in his career?
150.
Oh, look at that. That sounds like we got 300 games of NBA experience on the floor for South Sudan.
You know what's pretty funny, though, man?
Very experienced, wily team.
JT Thor is so good that he can't even start for South Sudan.
No. South Sudan is so good that NBA player JT Thor is coming off the bench.
Okay. Then why are they down 17?
Because the other team's America.
With NBA players?
Yes.
Okay.
But the point is...
What's the point?
17 points. Could be 50 points. Colonel Crawford's not happy with unless it's a 40-point blowout or more. So we will be... This is now a thing. Today's show.
Thing or not a thing.
I mean, it's not that I'm not happy. I just think it's kind of pathetic if it's not against a team like this.
Okay, when you say something
this is
pathetic,
not the final, Nick. This is like first round, basically.
Yeah, I'm aware. I'm aware it's not the gold medal game because you'd be showing more respect to South Sudan.
You don't think it's pathetic if they didn't beat this team by 40?
No. Okay. What matters is you win the gold. Like, you're acting like this is that. Listen, South Sudan is the worst team in the tournament. Totally fair. But you're acting as if they don't have, like, professional players just because they don't have.
Well, according to Steph Curry, they had appropriate fear.
Yes, and that's probably why they're up by 17 points right now. And maybe if they had appropriate fear the last two times, the last time these two teams played, maybe then they would have housed them by 40 like Colonel Crawford wants.
The old marble mouth.
I mean, he is. You can't say, I'm not going to be mad mad or not, whether they win. And then you're like, it's pathetic if they don't win by 40.
Well, unlike the soccer thing, I get, as we talked about yesterday, that's fake outrage of people just every time the soccer team loses. But they actually have professional players all over the world that have higher levels of soccer. So understandable. This is not understandable if they were to lose.
They have several players on South Sudan. Most of their players are playing in Europe. That is a professional brand.
Okay, name them.
But okay, in fairness.
Are you a big European basketball fan?
Big Lokomotor Russia, yeah.
Maccabi Tel Aviv?
That you nailed that one. Yep. There's another one in Tel Aviv, I think. There's another one of those. And then they got the French
David
team.
David Blatt's over there somewhere.
French team.
I should
one of those.
Know more of these. I've been on a lot of Euro hoops.
Hey, where are you on this one? Why aren't you sticking up for South Sudan and the juggernaut that is South Sudan?